experience work, the better building process works. And actually, sometimes I'll let you pick among the things that Trail does, among, what am I trying to say, the areas they build in. So I'll ask you quickly, commercial, faith-based, industrial, multifamily, healthcare, education, municipalities, that reviews, nonprofit? Any of those you can pick from?
Nonprofit.
Nonprofit. This is what something they take a lot of pride in. And with the Clemson Community Care and the Gateway House and Greenville Humane Society and Our Daily Rest and Fine Arts Center, and the they just do a great job with that. And I'm looking now, Clemson Downs and the Collins Children's Home and the Oconee County Heritage Center and the Piedmont Women's Center. They believe in it. They like it. And like Our Daily Rest board member Daniel Robleski says, that throughout the duration of the process, the design, the actual construction, representation of Trail conducted themselves in the utmost professionalism and extended every courtesy possible to my group. Recently began to take people from other nonprofit organizations on a tour to our soon open facility. Every person is complimented on the design, the efficient use of space and color and quality materials throughout the facility. People at Trail made the recommendations with our best interest at heart. Sincere interest in wanting to help us achieve our goals apparent throughout the entire construction process. There you go. They want to be part of the community. They're a big part of the community, and nonprofit is a big part of that. If you're a nonprofit right now wanting think about a new building, let's think about Trail, 800-319-7006, TRE-HEL.com. I interrupted you because of the top of the outbreak, the hard break there, but you had something very interesting with this whole, in case you missed the first hour, we stumbled upon this ball of mud and conditioner and oil and balm and buffering that NFL footballs go through. And Ashby, you had something you found.
So I've done a little bit of research.
Right.
And what I'm seeing is in the 1910s, maybe early 1920s, some Major League Baseball player got hit in the head and passed away from a pitch.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
Since then, it became a rule, like it's in the MLB rules, Rule 401C, which states all baseball shall be properly rubbed so that the gloss is removed. Okay, so this is when they started using mud. So some guy named Lena Blackburn, okay?
Yeah.
He was a player at this time and then became a coach, was a scout for the sport until at least 1948. He set out on a quest to find a better mud to use for the purpose, okay? So he goes and he finds in the middle of Palmyra, New Jersey, set to be near it, finds this special elixir of mud that no one knows where it is, okay? So he finds this mud. He's like, this would be perfect for Major League Baseballs. He goes and starts a company. It gets passed down to his friend and then the friend's son. And now, like 100 years later, this is what all big league and minor league teams use. And they get 10 pounds of it to start every season. And that's all they get.
For the whole year.
For the whole year. And they have to use it.
This is crazy.
This is crazy.
They have to ration out their mud to make sure that it lasts the whole year.
That means you would have to get it to, like, the tiniest millimeter to know how much.
Because you
got to
think about how many baseballs are used in a major league, and every foul ball you foul off, or the ball lands in the dirt, scoop, oh, that ball's done now.
Yeah.
Every time the ball hits the dirt, it's done.
It has to be, I believe, this specific kind of mud. This is crazy.
And I had no idea. I knew that pitchers like roughing the ball up a little bit, or taking your hand and rubbing it in. I didn't know that the man that gave his life for it. I mean, that guy, he made the ultimate sacrifice for baseballs. He gave his life for it. And now we need to name mud after the guy or something.
Listen, the guy that found it wasn't real creative with naming it. It is called Lena Blackburn Baseball Rubbing Mud.
Yeah.
But what an interesting
story. And the same company does it today.
Yeah, it's the same thing. And they, I believe, provide it to, well, I'm sure they have a contract, but they're the ones that provide it to all the teams. It says other alternatives in the past, before this really became a thing, were tobacco juice, shoe polish, and soil from under the stadium bleachers. It says these successfully took the sheen from baseballs, but they could damage, discolor, or scratch the ball's leather. So this specific rubbing mud, it does what it needs to do, but it's not going to mess up the ball.
It is harvested from a secret location along a tributary to the Delaware River in New Jersey.
Guess what my pride tells me? That I could find it.
You would find this secret location to do it all. Now I need to know, does it change from year to year based upon global warming? Like, is the mud going to be different from one year to the next because of the environmental issues we have? I need all that now. The consistency harvested from the mud has a texture like a smooth chocolate pudding or cold cream. I didn't know this. Before every game, umpires or team equipment staff use a little water in the mud to rub down the balls, roughly 6 to 12 dozen baseballs, for at least 30 seconds until each team is – until they all even turn even a dull white. So you're talking about 6 to 12 dozen baseballs.
Guys?
Yeah.
The NFL mud?
Yeah.
Also comes from a secret location in New Jersey, but I think it's a different secret location
in New
Jersey.
It's not the tributary to the Delaware River in New Jersey.
What is going on with the mud in New Jersey?
I don't know. I don't know this. We've stumbled upon this. Lena Blackburn baseball rubbing mud. Man, this is crazy wild. Anyway, I bet that's education. I like this segment. I like the last segment, learning more about it and how it all works.
This is like PBS, y'all. Yeah. Kids are back in school. They're driving to school this morning. Tell your friends. Lena Blackburn sent you.
I love it. I love it. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. There's all kinds of things in sports that happen that we had no idea that they were happening. And sometimes I look at myself and go, what? There's no way, again, on the consistency of how firm the field is, I had no idea that we measure that. And this is where collective bargaining comes in. Because the players and the owners might want two different kinds of fields, but they have to agree upon on how that goes. Texas said, yeah, New Jersey is the Garden State. And the only other time in sports we use the word tributary is at Augusta National. That is a tributary of Ray's Creek among Amen, at Amen Corner. It's just a tributary. So you learn something. Learn something for sure for that.
We got textures getting in saying there's got to be some Tony Soprano up in here somewhere.
Oh, of course there is.
That feels like one of the jobs he would tell people he does, doesn't it?
Down in the Pine Barrens down there where the Chechenian interior decorator, whose apartment did not look very good.
His house did not look good. 16 Czechoslovakians.
Baby. Yeah. Yes, yes. So there's a Sopranos in there somewhere.
I was a clubby with the G-Braves, was responsible for the umpires' uniforms. They would be in their locker room in a circle doing this whole process every day. So it's the umpires that do it.
Yeah, and now you got to check bats. Remember the pine tar game? So where your pine tar is in college baseball, you have to submit your bats to be tested. There's just all kinds of stuff. They had no idea this stuff happens.
I think when you take Drake to his first practice, right, with this new team,
yeah,
I think you need to Monday. Make sure he has his Lena Blackburn mud ready to go.
We don't have that. We have the natural mud on the ball that happens when we hit one in a mud puddle over there. We have to hurry up and get it out. Or he leaves it out in the rain one time, the ball gets waterlogged. Texas wants to know, have I seen the Mets pitcher celebrating strikeouts? It's disgusting. It's on TV right now. Watch this one here. So
how does he get away with that?
I don't know, because if you're playing against the Mets right now, then you put one in a guy's ear hole. Right beside him, this guy's doing this jumping thing and striking out. You gotta stop that mess. That's not baseball. That's not no part of baseball. We're not doing that. Let me get Noah in. 654-ROAR, our Pratt Injury Lawyer phone lines. Good morning, Noah. Thanks for hanging on, man, and calling in. How you doing?
I'm good, Mickey. How you doing?
Blessed,
today?
Buddy. Very blessed.
Good, Ashley. Hope you're doing well. Real quick, I love calling in this time of year as it relates to football and kind of getting a few games, you know, on the radar as far as initial whoever's going to win this game, you know, kind of sets himself up later in the year for the playoff. But over the years, I've also kind of learned that that's not the case anymore. I mean, last year we had to debate a Notre Dame-Miami. Well, yeah, it was a Notre Dame-Miami game that ended up you know, kind of deciding the playoff, which it worked out well. But, you know, if that would have gone a different way, then my whole entire thought process is down the toilet. Because if Notre Dame would have been over to, in the playoff over Miami, then that game would have essentially not mattered. So yeah. I'm curious as to what, in the first week, you know, week zero, week one, kind of slated games, I'm curious what – there's a few games that kind of stand out to you as far as a very similar Miami-Notre Dame kind of situation where whoever wins that game, it could end up coming up later in the year as a – this was the game that kind of determined whether or not they were going to be in the playoff. And the more I hear myself talk about it, I really do think that Notre Dame – whatever game Notre Dame plays in the early 2 weeks is going to be that game, because they're pretty much going to go – either 10-2 or 11-1 with a loss in that big game, because I believe they have Texas A&M at some point in the first 2 weeks, or maybe it's not Texas A&M, it's somebody that they have in the first 2 weeks that's like going to decide their playoff hope pretty much. But I'm curious if there's any other games that you're looking at thinking, okay, whoever wins that game very well could go 11-1 or 12-0, whatever the case might be, and solidify their spot in the playoff. And I know it might be a little bit early, but it's still something I like to ask, because it's always, you know, for me, I'm going to watch Kentucky. I'm probably going to, you know, have high expectations. Will Stein is probably, he might disappoint me. I hope not, but he might. And then I'm going to turn it off and go watch a bigger game. So I'm kind of curious what you think, but I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you, Noah. Thanks for the phone call. You know, the Miami-Notre Dame thing last year was extremely interesting in that Miami won in week one, and it didn't cost Notre Dame a college football playoff spot, because they lost the next week to A&M. I think the A&M loss was more damning. Notre Dame lost by 3 to Miami on the road, and then lost at home to A&M by 1. They were 4 points away from an undefeated season. And then they turned down the bowl game through all that. One thing you can think about is, we put too much or thought about, man, this is the game that got them in or didn't get them in. Now, Miami Notre Dame head-to-head, that's what it came back to with that one. And oftentimes it can. But if Notre Dame just won the next week, then they would have been in. And maybe Miami's out at that point in time. Another great example of it. Last year, when Florida State lined up and physically dominated Alabama to the tune where they outrushed Alabama last year 230-87. And they won by 2 touchdowns, in which they were in total control of the football game. At the end of that game, 31-17 victory against number 8 Alabama. At the end of that game, you would say, man, Florida State is back and Alabama's not going to make the playoffs. If you think about that, Alabama from that point in time on, they still had – that's where the loss you think would have been just terribly damaging to them, because – you know, they still had to go to Georgia, and they still had LSU at the time. You thought, man, they were going to be really good after beating Clemson. And they had Wisconsin, and they had, you know, a pretty good Vanderbilt team at Missouri and Tennessee and at South Carolina, LSU. They had Oklahoma at home. And like you're saying, man, that game's going to cost them the college football playoff. The point is that one game does not for any team in the country. Every team in the country can afford to lose a game. I heard yesterday one of the Golic guys, not sure if it was the old man or the son, say, Notre Dame can't lose 2 games. That's crazy. Notre Dame can lose 2 games and get in. Without any doubt in my mind, Notre Dame can get in. And matter of fact, with a 12-team playoff now, and last year I know it didn't happen for them because they lost 2, but they lost 2 so early that they had to fight their way back through all that. But I truly believe that Notre Dame can get in with 2 losses now. And part of it would be like a kind of a life raft or an apology for last year for not getting them in. Because if it happened 2 years in a row, then that might force them to join a conference or something like that. But the fact of the matter is that Notre Dame gets the benefit of that more times than not. But my point through it all is there's not a game that anybody that they have to win on their schedule. For even like BYU, we talked about BYU earlier. BYU plays Notre Dame, and it's a huge game in Provo. And it is one of those that I believe if they win, they're going to go to the college football playoff, maybe. But they can't go lose 3 or 4 other games. So, look, there's intriguing matchups early. But, like, if BYU beat Notre Dame on October the 17th, but then lost to Central Florida or Arizona State or Utah or Baylor, like, they'd be out. It's not a win and end, and it's not a Alabama proved last year. It's not a lose and you're done anymore. It's a long season, and there's 12 teams. There's a lot of at-larges in there. Does that make sense? Fair?
Completely. I think there's still some gray area with it, because 1 to 2 losses for some teams is going to be bigger than others. And
yeah.
Notre Dame, though, is an interesting schedule looking at it. This is the first time I'm really going through who they have.
Yeah.
The BYU, Miami, especially those two, are interesting. What do you think if they were to drop both of those games and win out the rest of them, what do you think happens to Notre Dame?
So much depends.
I know.
On the rest of the year there. But I think they're in at that point in time.
I think they are too.
Now, the bad part of that is, think about this for a second, because I don't think Wisconsin's going to be ranked at the end of the year, nor Rice, nor Michigan State, nor Purdue, nor North Carolina, nor Stanford, nor Navy, nor Boston College, nor maybe SMU or Syracuse. So,
no
in other words,
wins?
No ranked wins and make the college football playoff. That could happen.
If I'm between – let me think about that. If you're a Big Ten team that has maybe 2 losses but a couple ranked wins versus Notre Dame in this schedule and they've lost to Miami and BYU, I'm going with the Big Ten team.
Yeah. Let me see if I'm right by saying this. Last year, Tulane did beat 24th-ranked North Texas. I'm trying to find a playoff team that did not beat a ranked team.
SMU is probably going to be ranked. I would be shocked if they weren't at that time.
What was the back end of the college football playoff last year?
Go back and look at that. Let me make sure.
Like, I need to find my years on here. The team with the worst resume.
So you had Alabama.
Alabama beat a ranked team last year. Let me make sure.
Oklahoma.
We got to take a break. Let's do that when we come back.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. Of the teams that – how many ranked teams do you have to beat to get in? Because that's what has happened now in college football is that the losses don't hurt you the way that you got opportunities in big games more now. So the wins really catapult you, and the losses aren't death sentences. Let's talk about it. Short break, much more to this.
The countdown is on. Is on. 30 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles. Ingles. Low prices. Love the saving.
Randall to the right hand side of Klubnik. And they'll go play action. They want to go long. He's wide open. Touchdown, Wesco. Tanya
Calder. 105.5. 97.5. The Roar. The Roar. Where every day is game day.
Why don't you head to fallspark@kiwi.com. Schedule a tour today. Gated community, 71 home sites between Lake Kiwi and Lake Jocassee. Jim Anthony's done it again. Private lake access, nature trails, Blue Ridge Mountain views. Families are going to love this. They're going to love the trails and love the boat slips and love this access to these beautiful, beautiful lakes. Life between two lakes is what they're saying, with this great access. And now lots as low as $150,000. You're going to love I think Jocassee is one of my favorite places on earth. And now I'm finding out about McKinney Creek and these waterfalls and these trails that go along all that. Find out about the security aspect of it. And as I told you before, the best lots go first. This is not typical ownership, membership ownership. This is a really cool aspect. You can take care of this access to both Kiwi and Lake Jocassee. Go to Kiwi Park. I'm sorry, fallspark@kiwi.com. fallspark@kiwi.com.
The games may end, but the opinions never stop.
You're totally off base on this.
105.5 and 90
April, and they're still doing taxes today. Still doing amended taxes and extensions on taxes and back taxes. Still doing all that. But now's a great time to think about the planning aspect of it. And let's form LLCs and 501c3s. Let's get payrolls right. And 20 or 365, man, it's a bookkeeping, payroll, accounting, the tracking part of it. They do all that as well. So different seasons going on. And a lot of help being administered right now. A lot of businesses, a lot of individuals profiting and getting better, lessening tax burden because of the Patterson Tax Service. 864-859-8289. LG Middle School. How did that happen? Can we say, well, let me, Let me get the Notre Dame FPI for you. Because what happens now, and Georgia's the same way. We did Georgia's favorite in all 12 games, and like there's only two games where Georgia's less than a 70% favorite in their games, right? And so let me find this, the Notre Dame aspect of it, and tell you what that's going to look like, because Notre Dame's going to be favored.
Yeah.
And I don't know. They'll be favored on paper right now against BYU. Against Miami, they won't be. But, like, even in going to Lambeau Field, the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, 93% chance of winning at Lambeau. Wisconsin's not great yet. And that's a shock to me. I thought he would win at Wisconsin.
I did too, man.
99% chance of beating Rice. A 97% chance of beating Michigan State. Boy, gosh, how bad they are. A 96% chance of winning against Purdue. But the point of all that is, like, man, Notre Dame's just going to roll people. They have in Chapel Hill, 89.8, a 90% chance of winning at Chapel Hill. According to FPI, a 98% chance of beating Stanford. I think Stanford's going to be terrible. For the Navy game, I hate to tell Colin Brady this, but a 97% chance of beating Navy. Boston College, a 98% chance of Jesuits versus Catholics. If I gave you SMU without looking, what would you say Notre Dame's chance of beating SMU? It's in Notre Dame Stadium. Touchdown, Jesus.
75.
90. 89.5.
Oh, my gosh.
Syracuse, 95.2. So the two that you would say are the least chance for, 76% chance of going to the high altitude of Provo, Utah, and winning at BYU. And, I'm sorry, then the Miami game is the last one in there. Miami at home. Notre Dame, a 71% chance of beating Miami.
That feels...
That's a little high.
High. That feels really high.
Yeah.
I understand it, but, I mean, Notre Dame has the highest projected win total of anybody.
Yeah.
10.7. FPI, 25.9.
Would you go over or under for Notre Dame at 10.7?
Under. I think they're going to drop one somewhere.
I'll tell you this. The secondary is unbelievable. The linebackers are unbelievable. These are Phil still has them the number one secondary in the country and the number one linebackers in the country.
Yes, but
and the number five defensive line in the country.
You got to go to Provo though.
The number one offensive line in the country. Notre Dame, man.
They're nasty.
Yeah.
They're just gonna drop one.
Wide receivers is a major issue though. Does he have them in their top 65 at wide receiver? Let's see if I can find it here. Clemson number 5 at wide receiver, South Carolina number 14 at wide receiver. Notre Dame number 34 at wide receiver. They don't have great playmakers out there. Running backs, you know, you got to replace the great duo at running back. So number 20 at running back. But quarterback, number 6. So I'm mad about one thing with Notre Dame football. And let me make sure I'm right by saying this. There is one thing I am really, really, really mad at. I'm mad at two things.
Okay.
In Notre Dame football. Number one, Marcus Freeman is so likable that I hate that he coaches for Notre Dame because I don't want to like Notre Dame and I don't want to pull for Notre Dame. But Marcus Freeman is so very likable. I would say... He is, you know, in politics we have this. We have the approval rating, but then the disapproval rating. I would say Marcus Freeman has the lowest disapproval rating maybe in Notre Dame football history.
That's saying a lot.
Let me see other Notre Dame head coaches and where they do it. In football, coaches list. I don't know if Newt Rockne counts. I don't know enough about Newt Rockne now. Or Layden or Leahy. I don't know if anybody really hated those guys. I like Eric Parsegian. But Dan Devine was one of the biggest jerks in the history of football. Jerry Faust lost so much that you couldn't hate him. Lou Holtz was a polarizing figure, right? Certainly was. To win a football game, you got to do three things. You got to be able to run the football, stop the run, not turn the football over. Bob Davey, he didn't win enough. Well, I don't know. Bob Davey's kind of arrogant. Tyrone Willingham, nobody hated Tyrone Willingham, but he lost there. Charlie Weiss, the round mound of rebound. Nobody liked Brian Kelly. So Marcus Freeman was the exact opposite of Brian Kelly. He's likable. Very, very likable. You like him? I think he seemed like a great dad. You don't like him?
Oh, I do.
All right.
I just, I have such beef with Notre Dame, not joining a conference, yeah, and playing victim.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Sweeney got a lot of heat for saying the thing about, you know, they're making their own rules for the TV station. But I think there's some truth to it. Like, there are a lot of rules for thee, not for me that goes on with Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's going to come from your head coach. I think he seems like a nice guy, a good guy. But all in all, like, you are your actions, and I don't know if I can stand behind all of Notre Dame's.
Let me give you the other thing I don't like about Notre Dame. Is it just me, or does he do the fake hair thing, Marcus Freeman? Like, nobody's hair is that straight, right?
Great hairline.
You know, they do that now where you can get your hair. How do they do that? You put the what's that called? What's that process look like? Is that paint or dye or something? How does that work now? Where people's hairlines, we have fake hair. Is that a fake hairline for him? Or is that natural? Can anybody's hairline be that perfect?
Well, do you remember? Well, you might not remember this because I know you're not the biggest NBA fan in the world. But last year, Jaylen Brown, who is now with the Sixers, but he was with the Celtics, he went down to, like jab and, like, go through, right? Make a dribble move and go. And when he did it, the top of his head got onto his defender's jersey and left a print from his hair.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think it's fake with Marcus Freeman.
I don't know.
I think that's just his hair.
I don't know. Hey, I'm jealous. It's a perfect hair. And it's a perfect deal on this picture for the Orange Bowl picture. Like, the bowl, like, you could put the exact bowl, the lines. There's a lot of geometry going in this thing. You could tell. I told somebody earlier. Well, see, yeah, it is, because look at him. Look at him back when he was with Cincinnati. His hairline was not that low. I think it's a painted-on deal. I think it's a fake deal.
I don't think it is.
It's lower.
He just has a different haircut.
Yeah, but that's at Notre Dame. That's pretty low. And then see how high it was at Cincinnati? I think here's what I know about hairlines. Okay, look at these two pictures right here. The Cincinnati one and the Notre Dame one. Look at these two. It's lower. Your hairlines don't they're like tides, but the tide never comes in. The tide always goes out. Hairlines don't get lower. I think it's fake. I'm going fake.
All right. Fair enough. We need somebody to ask him about it.
I'll ask him.
How did you complete this defy the laws of aging physics?
Well, how did your tide rise instead of how do you get a high tide rather than a low tide?
I don't know, man. Like,
I will say this. Anything cuter than his family, though? He's got umpteen kids. This is a good family. It's a cute family. What's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got 6 kids. Got 3 boys and 3 girls, or 4 boys and 3 girls, or 2 girls, man. Yeah, that's a good-looking family. It's just hard to dislike the guy. But I really think I can't read that one. I really think that he said it's great clips when he was in Cincinnati. Now he has a true barber. But he wouldn't shave off, like, the top part of it.
Or getting depends on the barber. There's a lot of different takes on this. This is more heated than I was expecting. But I respect it.
Deontay says, depends on the barber. Some barbers will push your hairline back even if you're not balding. I don't need any help there, pal. I can tell you that. I got to get a haircut here in the next couple of days. And I always tell my guy this. I'm going to the same guy now. And we talk about religion, man. It's a great conversation. But I always tell him right up front, man, I apologize. Like, I'm giving you something that you're going to have to work a miracle on. Like,
here you go.
the blind will see and the cripple will walk, and somehow, some way, you got to do something with this hair. I mean, if the meek will inherit the earth, then my hair is really going to inherit something one day.
If you could wake it's up awful. Tomorrow with Marcus Freeman's hair on your head, would you take it?
Absolutely. 100%. Do you know what percentage of the population I would trade with hair? Like, it's bad, man.
No, it's not.
It's bad.
Guys, Mickey has perfectly normal hair.
No. No, I was not. But I'm blessed in 99.9% of the areas on Earth, but not that one. You know, the new meme is like, other than the obvious, what would you change about yourself? I think when people say that, but the obvious would be my hair. And I'm so envious of
guys. I was
going to
pull that on you. I'm sad you've already seen it.
Yeah. Or, do you ever wish you were athletic? I love that one.
I did to my dad a couple years ago. I hit him with a, "Dad, you kind of look like you can't swim. Can you swim?" He was like, "What are you talking about?" "Of course I can swim."
He's a accomplished swimmer.
What do you mean? Especially for guys, that's a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Besides the obvious.
I saw the one with Randy Johnson's daughter there at a dinner, and she asked him, "Dad, do you ever wish you were athletic?" He's like, "I'm in the Major Baseball Hall of Fame. How much more athletic would I needed to be?"
Now, if somebody asked me that, I'd be like, "Yeah, I'd love to be more athletic. It'd be great, man."
When we come back, today's the first day of practice at Clemson, and I am very there. I can tell you who's going to play a lot of positions. I'm very interested in this one unit and the versatility of it, and so what the hodgepodge pieces look like, and what it's one of these units we'll talk about it coming back that. A guy might not be in his best position, but it might make you a better overall unit. We'll talk about it. Short break, much more on the other side.
Want to stay up to date with everything the Roar has to offer? Follow us on social media at the Roar FM so you never miss a live show or event. The Roar, where the upstate sounds off.
We had Chris Pratt in to talk about what they do, the wrongful death, the personal injury stuff that they do at the Pratt Injury phone lines. By the way, Chris Pratt has great hair. Like, just great here. What I'd give that curly thickness that the guy has. Ask about the Pratt Law Firm, who their attorneys are and where they do, and car accidents, dog bites, and drunk driving victims, and all kinds of liabilities that are out there. Ask about that. 864-LAW.com. Easy to remember. That's our phone lines as well. That's Pratt Injury Lawyer phone lines. Their number is 864-LAW.com. Ours here on the telephone lines, 654-ROAR.com. So get in touch with them whenever you need any assistance there, 864-LAW.com.
From the I-85 gridlock to the SO parking lot, we're your sports talk escape. We are 105.5 and 97.5. The Roar.
Attention service professionals, stop driving invisible. Whether you're a plumber, HVAC business, electrician, landscaper, or other mobile business, your vehicle is your best form of advertisement. At Catazoom, we create high-impact, custom vehicle wraps that turn heads and generate leads 24/7. A one-time investment in a wrap means years of free advertising. Visit Catazoom.com today for your free quote. That's Katazoom.com. Catazoom.com. Grow your business.
Hello, listeners. At Insurance for Seniors and Disabled, we believe in service after the sale. So,
like honking a horn, but it was another company. I think that Audra's so good at what they do that people stole their color scheme and pattern. In like, there's imitators out there now, and not even in their industry. The other thing I see is, I know that people don't know enough about. Certain aspects, and they get duped. I don't want to be duped. And so I see this in reviews all the time now, that this national company is out there, and people are saying, man, we went with this company first, and then we called in myalldry.com, 864-863-1234, and they ended up just saving us all kinds of money because the other company's trying to sell stuff we didn't need. You know, there's that joke about ladies about how you get to get the air rotated in your tires, you know? Because they think the women don't know anything about cars, whatever. Well, men don't know anything about mold and about water mediation. It's not a DIY stuff. I will tell you this: there's a company in the upstate. It's called MyAllDry. MyAllDry.com. AllDry does a terrific job. Stan is a guy's going to be there for you when you call a local company. Rapid response, and you're going to put this thing to bed, and it's going to be behind you, and you can move on with your life. Don't mess around with mold. Don't mess around with water damage. Let All Dry do it. MyAllDry.com, my highest recommendations this group, 864-863-1234. I want to talk about Clemson offensive line here in a second. And the reason I bring that up is, if you look at it, you know, when, on the offensive line, by the way, Chad, hang on, because I'll make a quick point and I'm going to get to you. Jacobs last year played guard and tackle. Sadler in his days had played guard and tackle. Thurman has played guard and tackle. And that's not just left guard and left and right guard, or it's they played multiple sides or both sides and played multiple positions. Sewell has played guard and center. Reed has been an inside guy and an outside guy. O'Connell's been mostly inside. I think Kattis mostly inside. But the point is that of the guys you're truly counting on, I even think Ware's been inside a little bit, and he's been hurting as a freshman year last year, or a redshirt freshman year last year. But the point is, like, you have guys that are playing center and guard or guard and tackle, and that's not, you know, left and right. So my point on this is you want your best five on the field. One of the things that Matt Luke talks about is I got to have all my five pennies adding up to more than a nickel. Mm-hmm. So you want your best group. So does that mean, like, I personally believe that Jacobs is the best left tackle on the team, but might be a better guard than tackle. So you're putting guys that maybe not be in their best position, and you're putting them to make the whole better. So the sum of the parts is what you're looking for, even though the parts might not be in the right places. And we're like, I don't know where Sadler fits in. I think more as a guard than a tackle.
Same.
I think Ware is athletic enough to play out there. I know Jacobs is. Thurman is a very interesting guy because Thurman can play really any of the three, but specifically guard and tackle. And then if for some reason Wise or Blanchard or Barclay maybe came on center, then Sewell played a bunch of guard last year. The point is that in trying to figure out the best five, that versatility becomes a key. It might not be your best position. You personally might be more suited to play guard than tackle the guard, or right than left. But for the best five and getting the best five and the best combination out there, very interested in it.
It would not shock me if you saw some switching things around, some mismatching in the first few weeks, just trying to figure out what works best, how to maximize that.
Yep.
I think Braden Jacobs has showed that he is probably the best left tackle on the team.
Yep.
I think to a degree, this is me hypothesizing, but they probably didn't go get a left tackle, and they didn't go get a tackle because somebody wanted to play left tackle, and they said that's for Braden Jacobs,
yes.
Right? So I think you pretty much feel good about him being there, but also the fact that he doesn't have to be to be successful. Like, if somebody really can't play guard and you need Jacobs to do it, then you figure that out. But I feel pretty good about all of these players individually is the thing. Two things. If they can have chemistry and if they can stay healthy, then the offensive line is far from my biggest concern.
You have no – I totally agree with that. You have no control over the injury part of it, but you do have control over the chemistry part of it, and that's fascinating to me, and how it works out and who's going to work and what side and all that. And I'll tell you, there's about – and I don't know the math of it. When you get five and you can move guys around, like mathematically, how many different combinations there can be. I don't want to get into that. But I'm telling you, there might be – five or six different scenarios for what we can see week one LSU. And it might be O'Connell at right guard and Sadler at right tackle, or it might be Ware at right tackle and Sadler at right guard. It might be, you know, Kattis might get in there. Wade might get in. Who knows, like, with the combinations of it all. But it's going to be really fun to watch starting today when we go out to practice today. Pratt Injury Lawyer phone line, single game season. Chad in Columbia. Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
Man, I was in Boston the last couple of days, and – I mean, y'all got on two subjects yesterday, and I just can't believe more people didn't call in because it was so interesting to me. You brought up two things that I've thought a lot about for a while. It feels like Dabo's desire to, like, prove people wrong almost can be, like, a detriment to the overall program. So I'll give you a couple examples where maybe it's gone right before and wrong before, because I've thought a lot about this. And tell me if I'm being unfair. The first is, you know, Chad Morris, when he was first hired, you know, 12 years ago or whatever, or no, at this point it's 15 years ago, it was almost kind of like he got so much credit for turning the offense around, right, that when Chad left, Dabo almost, like, hired what I would argue is, like, unconventional like nobodies in Jeff Scott and Tony Elliott, right? And then to make it like the Clemson offense. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he got more credit. And then, like, when Venables left, he hired Goodwin. You know, Venables got so much praise for historically about defense. So it's almost kind of like, you know, last year with Punter, like, and then he constantly throws it back in the fan base's face. And, like, you know, y'all talked yesterday, Mick, about, you know, hey, the punter had a great year. I mean, what was he, like 30th or 40th in punting? I mean, is that great? You know, so that's number one. I want to get your thoughts on that. Am I being unfair with that, all that? Secondly, it's almost like, and it feels like it goes back to maybe Renfro. Like, it's almost like Davos tries to create a Disney movie now with our stuff. Like his desire for Vezina, you know, the all-around good kid, been loyal, picked us out of high school. It's like, as a fan, I don't care, Mick, if these kids picked us out of high school, if they're literally one-year mercenaries that are 27-year-olds, or I just want the best 105 biggest, strongest, fastest, quickest, most explosive football players that we could possibly have. Like, and I don't care if they have, like, are good kids. I don't care if they make great grades. Like, as a fan, I pull for Clemson. It doesn't matter to me, like, if the kid's a good kid and represents what college football is about as a fan. And that might be wrong. So I want you to tell me if I'm being unfair with that. And then lastly, Mick, I'm starting to wonder if your esteemed co-host, because she's maybe from Birmingham, because obviously Dabo's tight with the Birmingham bros, is she compromised? I mean, Nick, how many programs, in honest take, how many Power 5 programs, if they had Christopher Vezina returning as a likely starter, a four-star quarterback coming in that didn't play his senior year, how many programs in the Power 4 would not go out in the portal and try to bring in a starter? I mean, would Wake? I mean, like, I don't know many that would have stayed pat at quarterback, and we did. And so what's your take on that? Like, how many, if you could look at the list of Power 4, how many do you think would have stayed pat at quarterback? Because I think it's less than, like, 10%. So I want to get your thoughts on those three things. It's Ashby compromise, Dabo's desire to prove people wrong is a detriment, and then I forgot the other thing I said because I've been rambling on so long. But anyways, dude, you man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Got Bama in my veins. Bama girl, compromise. I asked you on a very serious note. He's kind of joking about your compromise.
Oh, of course he is.
I did ask you one time, because you went to high school with Christopher Vezina, is it hard for you when he – it's not hard for you when he plays well to have your high school pride and your Bama pride. I get that, and that's natural, and I would celebrate that if I were you 100 times in a row. I went to Irmo, and Rodney Williams is the quarterback here, and man, as an Irmo guy going over there doing great things at Clemson, I get that. So we share that. With that said, is it hard to criticize? Because I found it hard to criticize Rodney when he was here. And I wasn't on the radio then, but even now, like some of the things, that's my guy. And Rick Stock, I'll tell you a better example, Rick Stockstill. Because I was hosting shows and Rick Stockstill was at Clemson, and somebody says something about the wide receivers, and I'm like, hey, wait a minute, man, that's my guy. You know? So it's harder, right? You have a personal relationship. And the other thing is, it's a small town. And so, you know, you see people in press conferences and all. So is that – would you find that a challenge or not?
As a person, I would never criticize
Vezina
ever.
Right.
It is my job.
Because there's very little to criticize, right?
Exactly.
He's a good dude.
Great guy.
Right.
It is my job to be able to criticize how he plays. And, you know, to be honest with you, I've tried to remain pretty neutral.
I think you have.
This offseason because – we really haven't seen him play much.
Yeah.
Now, when we get into it, if he goes out and he kills it the first game against LSU and he's the starter all year, awesome.
Yeah.
If he stinks it up, then I'll say he stunk it up.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of it. But to Chad's point about, you know, Clemson's one of the only teams that wouldn't have gotten a transfer quarterback in this situation, I don't – like, that's a Dabo Sweeney decision. That's a coaching staff decision, right?
It will – the blowback or the credit will go 100% with him.
And let me say this on his whole point of everything of, you know, him wanting to prove people wrong. He's got that embedded in him. Dabo does because that's who he was.
Yeah.
So he's going to be that way and he's going to want to pull for the underdog his whole career. And that's just part of him. And it's paid off in the past. And so, yeah, he's going to get burned, and he's going to get flamed if it doesn't work out with stuff. And sometimes it doesn't. But that's just who he is, and you got to live with that.
But a lot of times it did, and Grady Jarrett did, and Hunter Renfrow did. Yes. And so he's got that in his repertoire. The problem, one of the problems there is that's rearview mirror stuff. And,
yes.
And we're talking about for windshield mentality. So he does go back on that a little bit too much, in my opinion.
I agree. Yeah. But you have to understand from his worldview of who he is.
100%. And I'm going to touch on more of that because of culture. Yeah. Big part of that Disney thing. Let's talk about that. Hour number three kicks off right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar. Scrolling again? Well, you might as well follow us while you're at it. Find the Roar on X, Instagram, and TikTok at the Roar FM to get even more content from all your favorite hosts. The Roar, where every day is game day.
One Tom Plummer, the name is the number, in Charleston in Columbia or in Greenville, the upset of South Carolina. I hope it doesn't happen to you, but sometimes sump pumps don't go well, and sometimes the things leak, and sometimes garbage disposals just don't go well. And sometimes drains, it just doesn't happen, and sewer lines, they don't work right. I mean, things break. Bottom line is that when it comes to emergency services, when it comes to any kind of plumbing issues you have, whether you're on septic tank or city sewage, that things go wrong, and One Tom Plumber can make it go right. Most experience out there, the team's going to come in and take care of you in Charleston, in Columbia, and in Greenville. The name is the number. Don't worry about flipping through and trying to find it all. Just put it in the phone now, or remember it now whenever you have to call it. One Tom Plumber. Check them out online, onetomplumber.com.